1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness did not understand.
There's something that's missing from some people. And you could say that's the Word of God. Families and children around the world have grown to love a special reading of the biblical storyline from a book called the Jesus Storybook Bible, which was written by Sally Jones. In her introduction, she writes these words. There are lots of stories in the Bible, but all the stories are telling one big story. The story of how God loves his children and comes to rescue them. It takes the whole Bible to tell this story. And at the center of the story, there is a baby. Every story in the Bible whispers his name. He is like the missing piece in a puzzle, the piece that makes all the other pieces fit together. And suddenly you can see a beautiful picture. God's Word comes in the form of Jesus Christ. That's what John chapter 1 is telling us. And I think of Isaiah chapter 55. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So when God the Father sent Jesus the Son into the world, he was the Word made flesh. And he accomplished everything that the Father wanted him to do. So we read in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The word beginning refers to our beginning, because there is no beginning with God. God has always been, and God has always been in the universe that he created, in the world that he created, and he will be forever and ever. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have no beginning. They have always been here. It's us who had this beginning. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In our beginning, God was there. In verse 2 we read, he was with God in the beginning. Jesus Christ was always with the Father and with the Spirit. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 we read these amazing words. God said, let us make man in our image. Do you hear the word us? That's a reference to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It reveals to us that the Father was not alone in his creation of the world and of Adam and Eve. The Son and the Spirit were with him, and Jesus is the agent of creation. It says in verse 3, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. That's an amazing statement, isn't it? Nothing got made without Jesus. He was there with the Father, creating everything that you and I see. What do you think about creation? Science writer Ferris Jobber asked a difficult question about those who do not believe in God. He says, how do you explain beauty? He quotes Charles Darwin, who believed not everything was a result of merciless natural selection. A great number of male animals, as all our most gorgeous birds, some fishes, reptiles, and mammals, and magnificently colored butterflies have been rendered beautiful for beauty's sake. What a beautiful world God has made. Can we take the time in 2020 just to stop once in a while and appreciate the beauty of this world? There is such an overabundance of beauty and creativity in nature that we often don't have the tools to observe it. A bumblebee, just as an example, can perceive ultraviolet light. Many flowers absorb or reflect this light and are a distinct beacon for the pollinating bumblebee. Ferris Jabber claims, "There is an entire dimension of floral beauty invisible to us because we do not have the proper biological hardware to perceive it." Jabber concludes by admitting that we can't properly grasp the elegance, power, and universal truth about beauty. He says this, "Beauty is a dialogue between seeing and what is seen." My encouragement to you is, see the beauty that's in this world. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 commends us to put our hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God's beauty in creation is a symbol of what God wants you and I to enjoy. In verses 4 and 5 we read, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." When you read the Gospels, one of the things that you observe is that many people who met Jesus did not understand who he was. Why? Because they were living in darkness. There is today still a lack of understanding about who Jesus is. People are living in darkness. A good verse for you to know is found in Colossians chapter 1. "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." What that verse is saying to you is that Jesus Christ is holding your life together. He is. He's holding everything together. So Jesus Christ, the Word, is the agent of creation. It's wise to remember that when everything was created in Genesis 1, that God spoke those things into creation. It was God's Word that brought everything to life on the face of the earth. Physicist Sean Carroll is a professor at the California Institute of Technology. In a recent interview on NPR, he marvels at the breathtaking number of 100 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy and the 100 billion galaxies in the observable universe. What amazes him more is that at the theoretical Big Bang, everything had to be just right. Just a few atoms out of place and there would have been no birth to the known universe. He says it's a delicate arrangement. It's a clue that the early universe is not chosen randomly. If we move further into John chapter 1, we come to an amazing verse, and that's in verse 14. You didn't hear that a little while ago, but it's an incredible verse that we all should know. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The word for dwell is a very important word. In the Greek, it's eskenozo. And what it refers to is the pitching of a tent. So what God did through Jesus Christ was that he pitched a tent on earth. And you know, tents are temporary. Jesus lived on earth for roughly 30 years. But his words endure forever. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we're still experiencing his Word. When I think about tents, I think about camping. Perhaps you do too. When I was 17 years old, I was asked to be a camp counselor for kids grades 5 and 6 junior camp at Judson Hills in Loudonville. Do you know where Loudonville is? Karen, you probably went there. So I was with 5th and 6th grade boys all week long. What a challenge. On the last night, after the campfire, we went up to our tent, me and these boys. And they said to me, "Can we build a fire?" And we had a place for that right outside the tent. And I said, "There's just one problem with that. It rained all day. The wood is wet. There isn't a very good chance of us getting it going." And so they said, "Well, let's try anyway." So I had a book of matches, and we put everything together. And I lit one, the fire came up, and then it went down, and it went away. I did it again, the fire went up, and then it went down, and it went away. I think I did that about 10 times. And then I said to the boys, "I'm down to my last match, what do you want to do?" And you know what they said? They said, "We should say a prayer. We should ask God to give us a fire." And so we stood around that pile of wood and we joined hands and each of us prayed for God to give us a fire. I lit the match, stuck it in there, the fire came up and it didn't go down. It just kept going. And you know, for me being 17 years old, that was one of the first times where I ever saw God answer a prayer immediately. And it convinced me of how important it is to pray. I've never forgotten that. So after a couple hours of telling stories and laughing and having fun, I said, "You guys have got to go to bed. Your parents are coming tomorrow to pick you up." And so they agreed that that's what they had to do. And we poured water on the fire to put it out. And we got it all gone. Poured some sand on it, and the fire was out, and we went into the tent and went to sleep. And about 2 in the morning, I woke up, and there was this glow. And I walked outside of the tent, and the fire had kicked up again. And what I heard God say to me that night was, "What I give you can't be put out that easily." And that's the word of God. You know, those tents are no longer there. They're gone. But the truth of God will never, ever go away. Verse 14 says that Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. He spoke the truth about many things. He spoke the truth about God providing for us. He spoke the truth about helping others. He spoke the truth about not worrying. Are you worrying? I hope you aren't, because Jesus said not to. He spoke the truth about seeking God in prayer. And most importantly, Jesus spoke the truth about eternal life. In the 14th chapter of John, Jesus Christ was having what we call the Last Supper with the disciples. And he told them to trust him. He was going to the Father's house to prepare a place for them. "You know the place where I'm going." And Thomas said to Jesus, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And then Jesus said these unforgettable words, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Dear friends, this is the most important truth we can share with the world, that only through Jesus Christ can we have eternal life. We live in a world where people are trapped by drugs, by violence, and countless other sinful behaviors that trap people, ensnare them, And what they need is to be set free. And we can be set free by Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 32, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That should be our hope for this world in 2020, is that people are set free. Remember, you were created by Jesus Christ. The truth sets you free to live the life that God wanted you to live when He created you. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the truth. Heavenly Father, we thank You for these amazing words from the first chapter of John. We thank You that You have been with us in our beginning. We thank You that You are present with us now. And we ask, O God, that You would meet with us at this table as we come, Lord, to meet with the One who died on the cross for our sins. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn of communion is "Break Thou the Bread of Life." Please stand to sing. Please be seated. This is the table of the Lord. All believers are invited to come to this table, whether you're a member of this church or not. You're invited. You're invited by Jesus Christ. It's His table. And so we come together in His name and remember the words of Scripture. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" Lord, we look forward to Your return. And so we remember You through this meal. And we thank You, Lord, for the bread, which symbolizes Your body. We thank You, Lord, that Jesus gave Himself on the cross for our sins. We thank You for the love which sent Jesus into the world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Thank You, Father God, for this opportunity to remember Jesus through the bread. We pray in his name. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. Grateful are we, Lord, for the cup, which symbolizes the blood of Jesus, which covers all sin. Grateful are we, Lord, for forgiveness, for mercy and grace. Help us to remember Jesus and his sacrifice as we receive this cup. In Jesus' name, amen. Gifts of God for the people of God. Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Take and drink." We invite you to stand and join hands as we sing together, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." Some of you may be wondering where Diane Steelman is this morning. She's not sick. She's filling the pulpit at Columbia Baptist because their pastor is sick. So on some level, this morning we're holding hands with the people at Columbia Baptist. Let us sing together.